Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. I'm your host, Maria Vasquez Boyd. We have a full house in here today. Oh, wow. Or not. We have playwrights in the studio live today who will perform. They've brought along a few actor friends, and they're going to perform a bit of their plays, either for the Fringe Festivals or ones that they have written. So I have Michelle T. Johnson, Vicky Vaudry, Kevin King, Jose Faust in the studio today, and I also have actors Meredith Wolfe, Bonnie Hansen, Laura Jacobs, Jenny Diamond, and Scott Cox. And I might have forgotten someone, but we'll get to that. So listen, we're going to start off with Jose Faust, and he's going to tell us about his work that he's written just for me. Welcome, Jose. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks, good. Maria. I think I told you the story. It's based on something that actually happened to me. I was in Mexico and didn't know what I was doing, and I decided I would just wait for fate to decide where I would go. And so this was a play about that.
Is that the time we drug you through the streets?
And you left me. You left me on a bench, and somebody took me, and I ended up on a beach by myself.
I should be credited with that play then. So anyway, we're going to hear Somewhere in Between. I also want to ask you, you've got something going on for the Fringe with the Writers' Place, too, right?
Yeah, actually, they're doing a thing with Cacico Dance and the River Cow Orchestra. So a series of poets are going to come in, and we're going to read a work. Music is going to interpret, and then the dancers, and then we'll do the whole thing over again.
Right.
So it's three different nights.
Because I know I plan to have Mary Frances Wagner in, and Greg Field, Sylvia Koffler, and a few other people that I'll be announcing later on. And here to do the read along with you is Michelle T. Johnson. Hello, my friend.
Is this on?
No. You're on, honey.
Oh.
So do our listeners need to know anything else about the setup here?
No, just the introductions first. Michelle did ask me to say that she's not a professional actress.
Not even a semi-professional actress.
All right.
Anytime you're ready.
Somewhere in between. A bench in the middle of a platform, rail tracks behind and in front. An elderly woman with a large straw bag walks to the bench, sits down next to a young boy, a backpack at his feet. It is 8:10.
Oh, I see you finally made a choice.
Excuse me, do I know you?
I don't think we have ever met formally. Nope, you don't know me.
Then why do you say what you said?
Because I have sat here for the last 2 weeks and watched you come up to the platform and sit on that bench over there and look at the train stopping and going and never getting on.
Oh, was that obvious?
Only to those that are looking.
So why did you start following me 2 weeks ago?
I was not following you. That is when you chose to come and sit here.
But how did you know I would come here?
Because I come here every day and watch the train stop and go, and I wave and say hello to folks passing by. Been doing this all my life since I was your age.
Why do you do that?
Why do you come here day after day and just sit? And today you bring your backpack with you and you're set to leave?
That's my business.
And it's mine to come here day after day. Fair enough.
Yes. I'm sorry. I just did not know I was being watched.
Oh, dear. We are always being watched. It's just a matter of how we live our lives. You are so wrapped up in your thoughts that you're not even aware of things around you.
That is not true. It's just that this is a big deal for me.
Oh, yes, son, I understand completely. Let me guess. You've been thinking a long time about this trip, and it has taken a lot out of you to get you to this point where you actually leave. Am I right?
That's true, but it's a little bit more complicated than that.
I'm sure it is. It's never easy to leave. There are so many things involved.
Yeah, for instance, one has to decide where one wants to go, don't they?
Oh, yes. To know where you were going is one of the most important things one has to decide. Don't leave it to chance, to say. If one can make the choice ahead of time, so much the better.
Still, even if you know where you're wanting to go, there's a lot of chance involved.
Of course there is. Take you, for example. I'm willing to bet that you are not really sure where you were going, even though you have that backpack full enough. You still haven't decided.
Look, I'm leaving today.
You might be and you might not be. Until one gets on that train, one is not left. But, if you don't mind my asking, where are you thinking about going? I know it's none of my business. You don't have to tell me.
It's okay. I'm not mad or anything. Just have a lot on my mind.
I'm all ears. This is what I do.
You just talk to folks?
Only when they want to talk. It's hard to have a conversation with yourself, as I'm sure you know.
You know a lot, don't you? Tell me, what have I been talking to myself about?
You sure you want to know what I think?
I'm curious.
Okay, then. From where I sit, I see a young, confused boy coming to the train station for the last 2 weeks, wondering about what to do with his life. And so you come here every morning convinced that if you just knew where you wanted to go, any one of these trains would take you there. I think you have decided on something, but it has taken you this long to accept your choice.
You're right up to a point. I have made the choice to leave, but I'm leaving the choosing of the place to chance.
Tell me more.
You know, I've watched the trains every day for the last 2 weeks, and I know one is heading south and the other north. They both arrive around the same time. Sometimes the one heading south is here first, or the one heading north is.
Don't tell me. I know. Whichever one gets here first is the one that you will take? Brilliant.
Yes, exactly.
Of course. Then have you figured out what is at the end of the line for both of those trains?
That's the best part of this plan. You see, the one going south is heading to Puerto Escondido, the hidden port. I've read all about it, and it's beautiful. I can see myself pitching my tent right along the ocean with all those long stretches of beach and sand and waves and music and glorious sunsets.
That sounds great. I can see why you would think that would be a great place to go, seeing as you are so young and curious.
Yeah, but you know, the one headed north is headed to the Distrito Federal, the federal district. There's a great museum there, and they have a show of Goya's, the black paintings. It would only cost me 30 pesos. I get a chance to go to the biggest city in the world and see the pinnacle of the greatest art ever made.
Wow, that is quite the adventure you have planned there. I've only seen Goya's works in the picture books.
Same here, but to see something like that is once-in-a-lifetime thing.
So you're willing to let fate decide for you where to go? I mean, I take it this is the first time that you'll be leaving this town.
Yes, it is. We got nothing here. There's no ocean and glorious sunsets, and our museum is not even worth opening.
Some would agree with you on both counts, but that is a lot to leave to chance, don't you think?
I'm not sure. I think both possibilities are right for me. If I head south, I will be happy. If I head north, I will be happy. It's just a matter of leaving this place. Like nothing ever happens here. Have you never felt that way?
Of course I have, more than you know. But in the end, I chose to stay here because I know so many people and things here. While we don't have glorious sunsets over quiet stretches of beaches, have you ever seen the sun going down, standing on the bluffs looking west from the plaza? To see the sky lit up orange and pink brings tears to my eyes. Doesn't matter where I am. And as for museums, there's a small painting in the upstairs hall. I'm sure you've seen it. An old man sits on a bench in an empty plaza, and all around, the flowers flood the scene with color. It's sad and joyous at the same time. I think it's the most serene and beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I've seen both of those things. They're nice, but they don't seem all that inspiring to me. You know, I don't want to die here. I want to see the world, and I won't if I stay here. I mean, have you ever tasted the salt on your face from the ocean as it hits the beach? Or have you ever poked your nose so close to a masterpiece that it's almost criminal? Well, I haven't, and the longer I stay here, the chances are I never will.
Oh, don't think that I'm trying to stop you or convince you not to go. On the contrary, I think everyone should follow their dreams. Life is just long enough to leave us with regrets. I'm just saying, I have lived here enough to appreciate what was right in front of me. But that's just me, and it took me a long time before I did that.
That's what people tell me. Stop and smell the roses and stuff like that.
I'm not telling you to do any of that. You might poke your nose into a rose bush and get a thorn or piss off some bee that will sting you.
I like that. That's why I'm leaving it to chance. Whichever gets here first, that train will be my destiny. I know that sounds high and mighty, but I'm willing to let life take me there.
That is the essence of faith, isn't it? To trust a higher power than ourselves.
I hadn't thought of faith in that way, but I guess you're right. It's just that for a long time I've had this sense that my life is out there and not here.
Well, good for you to know that much. To know that much is a big part of the journey. It gives you the strength to continue no matter the obstacles.
Thank you for not thinking me stupid.
I'm sure there are plenty of people who've been doing that to you. Don't count me one of them. You're nervous, aren't you?
Yes, a little. I'm anxious to get started. Geez, doesn't it seem like the trains are late today?
Oh, no. You're lucky today. They're both right on time. Soon your life will be decided for you. That is exciting. Here, take this with you. It's just some snacks. I'm sure you don't have a lot of money on you.
Thank you. You seem so wise.
I hear the train's coming. I wish you the best of luck. I really do. Whatever you do, know you will make the right choice.
I can't lose. I'm leaving it all to fate.
Fate is a funny thing. Here are your trains. Well, this is odd. They are both here at the exact same time. And look, why they stopped at exactly the same time. Which one do you think was first?
Oh, Lord. This can't be happening. Please help me. Did you see which one was first? Help me.
I can't tell you that. They were both here on time.
Well, lie to me then. Give me one.
I can't do that for you. These trains are here for you. I know you'll be okay. Goodbye for now.
Wait. Help me decide. I can't really tell which one was first. All aboard.
Supporting 90.1 FM. There was a guy doing Woody Guthrie. He packed the house. The guy doing Sam Cooke stole the show. And the comedians in the submarine, well, you had to see it. And that was last year's Fringe Fest. This year's Kansas City Fringe Fest begins live performances on Thursday, July 16th and runs to Sunday, July 26th. There's even an art show in Union Station beginning July 12th. KCFringe.org has all the details. KCFringe.org.
Where does the idea behind Right to Work come from? This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, we interview Cedric DeLeon, whose new work, The Origins of Right to Work, traces it back to Chicago in the 1880s and claims that it was always about dividing workers and undercutting their solidarity in the name of individual liberty. Then, what's the fallout from last week's Supreme Court decision on Obamacare? We talked to former Kansas Insurance Commissioner Sandy Prager. Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast. Podcast Friday, 5 a.m.
And we're back. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I'm just really proud and happy to bring four playwrights into the studio on air today, live at KKFI. Now, you just heard from playwright Jose Faust reading with Michelle T. Johnson. She read for him. And next up, we have Vicky Vaudrey. Grab my notes here. Vicky has a play that's going to premiere for the Fringe Festival called Sue Aside. And we have not only Vicky Vaudrey here in the studio, but we also have Laura Jacobs and Scott Cox to read. So tell us, welcome everybody, first of all. And tell us a bit about this play. What are we going to hear? It's just an excerpt, right?
Yes, yes. It's the first few pages. Actually, this play came about because I got a new dog about a year and a half ago, and he was so bad that it kind of gave me an idea for kind of, I thought it was going to be a dark comedy, but actually it's turned more into a drama. But yes, Harry the Horrible is quite famous, so.
Oh my goodness, it sounds like the beginnings of a book.
Maybe so.
But I also wanted to mention to our listeners, you are a regular pretty much at the Fringe Festival with your plays, right?
I've been in there, yeah, several times now. This may be the fifth time, I think.
And one of those shows was performed in New York.
Yeah, a couple we actually took there to the Midtown Festival. Mm-hmm. And this year, the show from last year, Hard Day's Night, is going to be in the New York Fringe.
Congratulations to you. That's great.
Thank you.
Now, as far as the Kansas City Festival, the Fringe Festival, again, it runs July 16th through the 26th. And if you look at kcfringe.org, you'll get more information about the times and locations, because it's not just at one venue. It's all over the city.
Exactly.
And yours, Suicide, is going to be at... Ooh,
let me just off Broadway Theater.
I just said that, didn't I? Yeah. Making up stuff. Terrific, thank you. So, are you all, Scott and Laura, are you new to the Fringe?
No, this is I think, my fourth year at Fringe. I've taken a few years off here and there, but...
And this will be my second time. I was in Vicky's other show, Thank You Notes, the one that we took to New York City. And I had a play that I wrote in Fringe that same year, Buck Hoss. And I'm doubling up this year, too. But I don't know if I'm allowed to mention the other name of the show.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
It's called The Hairy Ape. Directed by Trevor Belt, an adaptation of Eugene O'Neill. It's also at the Just Off Broadway Theater.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, here in the arts, I think we're all really good about supporting one another in terms of, you know, the endeavors and productions and that sort of thing, music and otherwise. So do you want to set a scene for us?
This is actually pretty much at the top of the show. Trevor is coming in to his ex-girlfriend's office. She's a therapist. Her name is Sue. And he takes her, you know, kind of by surprise. So.
Okay, very good. Oh, my God, Trevor. What, did Megan know you were here?
Of course she knew. She pointed the way to your office as she was leaving.
Where's Mr. Adams? Is he still out there?
No. I'm Mr. Adams.
I'm really confused.
I'm Ken Adams. Didn't you have any idea it was me?
Maybe I'm stupid, but why would I think you're Ken Adams?
Duh, Sue. Friends, the TV show, that was Joey's fake name, remember?
So why are you using the name?
I thought it was a great clue. You loved that show.
I still do, but I don't go around pretending I'm Phoebe.
No, you're more like Rachel. God, you're a sight for sore eyes.
All I know is I'm expecting a real Mr. Adams to talk about the problems he's having with his dog.
The dog part is true.
You have a dog?
Yes. Can I sit down?
I guess. So, how long has it been?
18 months and 4 days.
What, no hours and minutes? Just joshing you. You were always so precise. I'm just jealous of your brilliant mind.
You look amazing.
Gotta love those diet tips Dr. Oz gives us.
Yeah, what a show. Only a notch better than Dr. Phil's.
Dr. Phil gives my profession a scar.
Yeah, the embarrassing wing of the Oprah legacy. But hey, maybe you'll have your own show someday.
One can only hope.
Think of all the opportunities. I can see the merchandise now. Mugs, t-shirts, DVDs.
On second thought, I'll pass.
You look so professional.
What do you expect?
I don't know. I'm just not used to seeing you like this.
I don't think my patients would appreciate my Disney sweats.
You look great in anything.
Well, thanks. Anyway, what's up? Why did you stop by?
Just wanted to see how you were doing. As for me, I've been working, quite a bit from home.
Bet that's nice.
I thought it would be.
Not what you thought it would be like?
Not exactly.
Why?
Because of my dog.
So these notes are really true, Mr. Adams.
Yes.
You didn't have to lie, Trevor. I would have been glad to refer you to a colleague.
I didn't really lie.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, come on, Sue. I thought you'd know.
Of course, because when I'm working at the office, Friends is on my mind constantly.
Oh, give me a break. I thought it was funny.
This says you're having bouts of depression because of your dog.
Yes. I hate her.
I thought you loved dogs.
I do. Or did. Not now. She has ruined every good memory I have ever had of my other dogs.
What exactly is so bad about her?
Everything. She won't stop barking. Ever. And she has to go out and pee every 30 minutes.
Well, she's still young?
Yeah, but none of my others ever took this long to house train. It's like she does it just to irk me. You know, I can't get anything done. All I do is mess with this dog. And when I walk her, she pulls my arm out of the socket. And she hates children.
How can you tell?
She bites them.
Oh, my. How many has she bitten?
Two, but they were my cousin's kids, so they didn't turn her in.
So were the bites just superficial?
Little Benji lost his pinky.
He lost his finger?
Just past his nail.
Trevor, I gotta ask, why do you still have her?
Because she loves me, for some weird reason. I just can't go through giving her up. We're both kind of misfits, like we're from the island of misfit toys.
Yeah, but you don't go around biting people.
Not that I tell people about.
You could get a different dog.
No, I can't give her back to the shelter. I just can't. And who the hell would adopt her? Nobody would want this dog.
Well, since you're here now, let's think of some solutions.
If anything happens to me, my mom's taking her. They're perfect for each other. You know, I've thought about throwing myself through a plate glass window.
Oh, bad plan. You're squeamish with blood. Yeah. And might not even kill you.
You're right. I could never do anything that messy.
Good.
There are times she makes me feel like killing myself.
Seriously?
For a minute or two.
What's her name?
Sue.
You are kidding me.
Hey, that's before I knew how bad she was. That was meant to be a compliment.
Jesus!
You did bite me a couple of times, if I recall.
Trevor, stick to the subject. I'm friends with a lot of people in rescue. Want me to check and see if we can rehome her?
Is that what you would do?
Well, no, but then I've never lived with Cujo Jr.
I should rename her.
Well, considering she's a monster and she is named after me, I think that's a great idea.
Is that what you would do?
Well, no. Hey, we just said this.
Yes, but I do want to know what you would do. I would like your help.
From what you're telling me, these dog issues are a whole lot to fight.
So you think I should just give up?
I don't see it as giving up. I would rather use the term acceptance.
Oh. Acceptance.
Sometimes acceptance is the only realistic solution.
Good to know.
Okay, you're not ready for that option. Let's think. Number one, if a dog was making me feel depressed, I would see if training would help.
Been there, done that.
Didn't work.
What do you think?
Well, didn't anything good come from training?
They gave me my money back. That came in handy for co-pays at urgent care.
Didn't they at least have some suggestions?
To put her down.
Aside from Sue being put to sleep?
Doggy downers, which I will not do to her spirit.
Don't discount that. The right meds can create miracles.
Sorry, not doing that.
It seems like every suggestion I give, you reject. Throw me a bone here.
Oh, you witty, witty woman. That is the end of our excerpt.
Sun, heavens rise, and the stars are gone, and the white cloth is raised. Golden days, and the city is in love again. And we dream in our days, and we drink and we dance, and we throw cares away. Lois gaze, and the city is in love. A carousel, when it brings you round, it never, never tells. When you find yourself in love again, love and love again, love and love again. The merry-go-round never ends. I wave goodbye. Life's a carousel. When it brings you round, it never, never tells. When you find yourself in love again. Bitter rose, sour.
You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. We have a terrific buzz here in the studio with our playwrights, four playwrights on air. And it's just been an exciting sort of an appetizer to wet your whistle for the Fringe Festival. We just heard from Jose Faust, Vicky Vaudry, and we also heard actors Michelle T. Johnson. Yes, actress Michelle T. Johnson. We had Laura Jacobs and Scott Cox. Next up, we have Kevin King with his production. He actually has a couple of productions that's happening for the Fringe Festival. One is Alphabet Soup and Batter Audition. So let's talk to Kevin. Welcome.
Welcome. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So, you know what? I do want to let our listeners know that your Flowers in the Wardrobe, which was an original play, was hugely successful, too. So congratulations on that. I know it was a few years. Well, last year.
Yeah, last year. But, thank you very much. Yeah, it was a great fun.
It was huge. So you also have, let's see, with you, Bonnie Hansen, Laura Jacobs, and Jenny Diamond to read. Project Playwright, is that?
Yeah, so actually, what they're going to be reading is a short piece that I wrote for the playwriting competition, Project Playwright, that happened last year. The piece that I actually have in the Fringe Festival is part of Alphabet Soup Stories from Queer Voices. That's a series of four short plays that are written by members of Casey's LGBTQ community. So I've got a piece in that. Cynthia Hardiman, Nick Son, and Raphael Isabella Tate all have pieces in that. And since my piece in that is only 10 minutes long, if I did an excerpt from that for here, it would pretty much be the whole piece. So what I decided to do was just brush off this short piece that I wrote for the competition last year. So I've rounded up these fantastic actresses to go through and do that.
I just want to ask you, were Alphabet Soup and Batter Auditions, where are they going to, what venue will they play?
Oh, yeah, both of those are going to be in Union Station on City Stage.
Okay.
And you can find out more, there's more information on that at whimproductions.com and also, of course, at kcfringe.org.
Absolutely. Now, we have Bonnie Hansen, Laura Jacobs, and Jenny Diamond. Welcome.
Thank you.
So happy that you're here today. So, been actresses all your life? Just recently, what's happening in the world of acting?
I started later in life. I had a background in education. I was a teacher for a number of years.
Love teachers. My heart.
And I had the good fortune of reading this play in Kevin's production last year at the Project Playwright. So I was glad to be back with it.
Terrific.
And you also have a show in Fringe.
I do have a show in Fringe. It's Bird in the Hand. And it, too, will be at Union Station. But we're going to be upstairs on the balconies. And it's a very different and interesting show. And, again, find out more at fringe.org.
Yeah, you know, there's so much going on during Fringe. Isn't it crazy wonderful? Yeah? They all nod. Yes.
Yeah. And Laura's got, how many shows are you involved
in? Involved with three this year.
Wow.
I'm doing a couple of performances of Kevin King's Better Auditions at City Stage. And then I'm doing two shows at Just Off Broadway, Suicide, which we just heard. Mm-hmm. And then Jack Phillips' musical, Taking Care of Mom.
Terrific. Yes, yes.
My background is in performing arts, so I know more about Charlotte Street. I was a Charlotte Street Foundation resident, and then Kevin found me and rescued me from obscurity and put me in some plays. I'm really excited to be here.
You know, it's really great to have friends like that, and you know, to collaborate with people that you know that would be great for a role. Right?
Yeah. Jenny is in Alphabet Soup and in Cynthia Hardiman's piece in that. And she's just been amazing. And all of the actors involved in that show are just really great. I'm really excited about it.
Well, let me get out of your way. Just sort of set up the scene for us.
Sure. So this is a play that I wrote for Project Playwright. And it's the instructions that we were given was we had to write a story about a bench, and someone wanted to sell it, and somebody else didn't want to sell it. And this play kind of just came out of that. And I will be reading, I kind of adapted it for radio, so I'll be reading the stage directions for that. At Lights Up, Twyla, an elderly woman, and Julia, her daughter, are on the porch of a large old house. The sound of crickets and cicadas fill the air. Faint strains of Frank Sinatra music come from inside the house. Twyla is seated on a bench, drinking lemonade and fanning herself. Julia is standing. They're having a conversation one assumes they've had several times.
Mom, please. You're coming to live with me, so we have to sell some of this stuff.
What's your name again?
Julia.
I've always liked that name. If I ever had a daughter, that's what I was going to name her.
I know. And you did.
That's nice. Nice night. Hot, but nice. The stars are out.
Yes. So what kind of wood is this bench made out of? Maple?
Redwood.
Redwood. And that you remember?
I remember lots of things. Like all the nights I spent on this bench in my younger days, waiting for a nice young boy to walk by.
Dad.
Was Jimmy your dad? Huh, that's funny, you don't look Mexican.
No, Mom. You were waiting on Lyle.
Why do you keep insisting on calling me Mom? And anyway, Lyle came later.
A young woman approaches the house. Twyla lights up upon seeing her. The woman is dressed somewhat anachronistically, all thrift store vintage.
Hello, young lady.
Evening, ma'am.
Ma'am? So formal.
Good evening. I'm Ms. Charles. This is my mother, Mrs. Charles.
Twyla motions for the young woman to join them on the bench. The young woman joins them to Julia's obvious frustration.
Would you like some lemonade? She'll get it for you. That's what I pay her for.
You'll have to excuse my mother.
Don't mind her. Get the girl some lemonade.
But she didn't even say...
Julia goes inside. Sinatra music gets louder, then recedes as Julia opens and closes the door. Twyla leans toward the young woman.
I know you. You know? Did you come here for me?
Yes. But it's not what you're thinking.
Oh, so it's not my time.
Not yet. We still have a couple of years ahead of us, at this point, I think.
You know, my maid is planning to sell this place and everything I own. She's putting them on the internet. Don't ask me to explain that to you, though. We'd be here all night. You'll find out. Apparently, people don't do yard sales anymore.
I know. She's selling everything. That's why I'm here.
Julia, that's her name, is such a busybody. Thinks she knows what's best. She's going to sell our dinosaur bone collection, too. But this bench is the first on the list.
We'll have to stop that sale, won't we?
Good luck.
Julia returns with a lemonade and hands it to the young woman.
You having a nice talk?
She doesn't think you should sell this bench.
Really? And what business is it of hers?
There's a lot of history on this bench.
Isn't that the truth?
Oh, God, please do not tell me I was conceived on this bench.
I hope not. I would want to know why your parents were having sex on my porch.
Again, I apologize for my mother. Dementia.
You don't have to apologize. But don't worry. You weren't conceived on this bench.
How would you know?
Oh, I mean, this bench is barely big enough to have sex on.
It's just big enough. This bench has had plenty of horizontal couplings.
But we never...
I'm not talking about me.
Who is we? Why are you talking like you have some involvement with this bench?
I was conceived on this bench. Mama was a saucy gal. On the day she died, she told me about when she and Dad did it here, right on this porch. Fueled by gin and lemonade.
Oh, gosh.
Is that true? Or is this like the dinosaur skulls?
Why would I make up a thing like that?
To the young woman.
I don't have dinosaur skulls. They're just fossils. Skulls. Can you imagine? Dinosaur skulls all over the house. There'd be no room for me.
I don't even know why you'd say a thing like that in the first place. Grandmother having sex on the porch?
Well, she wasn't your grandmother. It was my mother. I was just making conversation anyway. And I figured you should know more of the history behind this bench you're so bent on selling.
Oh.
Yes, there's that story. And all the time she spent waiting on Jimmy to visit her. All the times they'd sit here, holding hands. And this is where she read that letter.
Jimmy's letter. Jimmy died in Korea. They found a letter addressed to me and his belongings. After he died, the letter found its way to me. It said he loved me. He was going to propose when he came back.
I don't appreciate you playing into her delusions.
Jimmy was not a delusion.
But you married Lyle.
I didn't spring into existence the day I met Lyle, you know. Jimmy was first.
With all this history in the bench, how could you sell it?
What concern is any of this to you? We don't even know you.
The young woman motions for Julia to step outside with her so they can speak out of Twyla's earshot.
You're right. It really isn't any of my business. I just want what's best for your mom.
She's my mother. You think I don't have her best interests in mind? I love her.
I know you do. But sometimes you can lose sight of what's best. Even when you love someone, it's not always easy to know what's right.
Oh, for God's sake, we're talking about a bench here. A bench!
One that's been in your family for decades. Do you know how many memories it holds for her?
Oh, there's no telling. Especially since she keeps bringing up new things, real or imagined. Oh, like this Jimmy fella. There's a new story every day, sometimes every hour. It's part of the dementia. She rewrites her history, and mine. I mean, you saw, in her world, she never had a daughter. So you'll have to forgive me for being skeptical about possible suitors from the past. I've never heard Taylor before.
If you listen with your heart, you'll be able to tell the difference between what's real and what's part of her delusion.
Listen with my heart. Hippie nonsense.
You're right. It is nonsense, whatever hippie is. But what am I supposed to say? That now and for the rest of her life, you'll never be sure what's true or not? Because you won't, unless it's something that you know 100% to be true.
Well, like the fact that I'm her daughter and not her maid.
Like that.
Part of me expected you to deny that.
No, I know better. But here's the thing. These fantasies, like the dinosaur fossils, they're real to her. Every bit as real as the fact that you're her daughter. I'm sorry. I can't imagine what it must feel like that she can't remember you.
From the porch, Twyla calls to Julia.
Jane, how about getting me a lemonade refill? Make this one a special. It's well past six, after all. Chop, chop! I'm not paying you to just stand around.
You're not paying me at all.
Well, then, there's probably a good reason. Think about that next time you hang out monopolizing my guests.
Right. Suppose you want a special, too.
No, thanks. I'm not drinking booze right now.
The young woman pats her stomach.
It's just a precaution. The doctors haven't told me to avoid it, but it seems like the thing to do.
Of course, you shouldn't drink if you're pregnant. Congratulations.
Julia goes to the porch, picks up Twyla's glass, and goes inside, accompanied by another Sinatra song.
What was that about? You can't be pregnant. We never had kids.
Rather than acknowledging her unborn child, young Twyla smiles, deciding to go along with Twyla's memories.
I'm just messing with her.
I always did like messing with people. Should we tell her who you are?
I don't think we need to. She wouldn't believe us anyway. I think she'll figure it out eventually, when she flips through old pictures after we're gone, if not before.
Sinatra announces Julia's return with two special lemonades.
You shouldn't sell this bench. I'm leaving it to you in my will.
What?
You've been good to me, mostly. And apparently I'm not paying you. I don't have anyone else to leave this to. Nobody who'd appreciate it. You're the closest thing I have to children.
Does that mean you think of me as a daughter?
It's kind of hard not to, since you keep insisting you are.
I think I'm going to get going. Thank you very much for your hospitality, Miss Charles.
You're welcome. I'm sorry I was gruff earlier.
Forget about it. I understand.
Young Twyla and Julia embrace.
Are you sure I can't come with you?
Yes. It's not time yet.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry about it. Help me up so I can hug this girl.
Julia helps Twyla to her feet. The two Twylas embrace as lights come down.
Zoo.
Supporting 90.1 FM, prizes, performances, productions, and more. The largest Latino event of the summer is coming to the Kansas City Convention Center. The National Council of La Raza's National Latino Family Expo will provide interactive demonstrations, entertainment, and will provide health screenings for the whole family. This happens from July 11th to the 13th at the Kansas City Convention Center. For all information, 913-353-6257 or at nclr.org/events.
This is Wilson, and I'm one of the newest volunteers here at 90.1 FM KKFI. If you would like to get involved in volunteering, go ahead and call Bill at 816-994-7869 or go to kkfi.org/volunteer. Thanks for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, your community radio station.
You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. We have four playwrights on air. Next up, we have Michelle T. Johnson, who's a playwright, Kansas City-based local writer here in town. We're so happy to have you here with us today, Michelle. You've written so many plays. One that I recall is Wiccans in the Hood, which was really well received, wasn't it?
It did okay.
Oh, you're being humble. And also Echoes of Octavia, which was produced by the Casey Melting Pot back in August of last year. So you've written so many plays. And recently your Trading Races has been selected for the 2014 New York City Theater Festival Planet Connectivity Festivity.
Yeah, it was last year, but yeah, it's going. I think I'm going to be doing a reading of that in town in a couple of months. So,
well, congratulations to you. And then for us today, you are going to feature, let me see, what do I have? Best Light.
Yes, that's going to be in the Fringe Festival this year.
Where will that play out of?
Just off Broadway, which isn't really like exactly just off Broadway, it's close enough.
Just off Wyandotte.
Yeah. It's a great little venue,
right? Once you get there, you never can forget how to get there.
And joining Michelle T. Johnson today is actress Meredith Wolfe and Davis D. Rock. Welcome.
Hi.
I'm glad to have you here. I recognize some faces, but tell us, Meredith, you are not a Kansas City native, but you've come from Vegas?
Yes, pretty much from Vegas. It's the easiest way to describe it. Yeah. And I've been in Kansas City for about 8 years.
And I know you've been in several Fringe performances.
Yes, I think this is either my fourth or fifth. It's hard to count, but yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. Good for you. And Davis, D. Rock, welcome.
Hi.
Kansas City native?
Well, around. Outskirts of Wichita area. I grew up more in the filmmaking background. So I did a lot of acting for film, but I also lived in Los Angeles and back here. But I love doing plays, too. So
terrific. Well, we're glad you're all here today. So give us a little setup about what we're going to hear.
Well, my play, Best Light, is about two artists who live together. And the artist, Luke, who's played by Davis, is bipolar and likes to kind of play with his meds a little bit as part of his creativity. And this little ditty that I wrote for the show today is not directly from the play, but I wrote it for the characters who are in the play, so Luke and his girlfriend Maya. And so it just is to give you a taste of their characters for when you come see the play.
Absolutely.
So you want me to start? Okay, all right. So I'll read the stage directions. Luke paints at his easel in their apartment. Maya sits at a table looking at a piece of sculpture that she made in her studio.
Potato salad.
What?
I said potato salad.
Babe, could we talk in a few? I've just got about 15 more minutes of light here, so.
I didn't think you liked potato salad.
I don't.
I know. That's why it was strange to see you eat it.
Okay, Maya. Speaking of eating, what's eating you?
It's no big deal.
Ah, you are so adorbs when you're trying not to tell me something.
The picnic today. You let a strange woman hand you a plate of food.
Baby, you really need to stop falling asleep to Netflix. Or at least not to Criminal Minds. She wasn't trying to poison me.
I didn't think she was.
Not worried that someone might be trying to poison me. Better talk to Xavier about making sure my life insurance isn't too high.
I wasn't worried about her killing you. It just seemed odd she brought you a plate of food.
You didn't make me a plate?
Was I supposed to?
No, but...
But you... what?
Just seems like a random thing for you to mention. You're not jealous, are you?
Have I ever been?
So what's bothering you about the plate of food?
You'll think it's silly.
No, tell me. Because I'm not getting it, and if it's worth mentioning, it's not silly.
Another woman made you a plate of food, walked right past me, and handed you a plate of food.
Is there some significance to that? It's just food. I mean, I asked you to fix me a plate, and you said no.
I was in the middle of a conversation with your boss's wife, and when you're hungry, you've always known how to get yourself food.
You're acting like she slipped me her number under the deliciously round, moist, firm bun she gave me.
Oh, you are cute, but not funny. Look, I know it's silly, but some women say that a woman should fix her man's plate of food to...
To what? To feed him? To make sure he doesn't starve to death so he can bring home the paycheck? To honor his head of household status? Maya, we don't do traditional. We probably shouldn't start after all these years with a plate of food.
It's not about tradition. Not entirely.
Okay. My paintbrush is down. You have my full attention.
Look, some women say it's a sign of disrespect for a woman to fix another woman's man a plate of food.
Okay, is this a black thing? I mean, I know that in holding up my end of our interracial relationship all these years, I should be caught up by now, but you still throw me the occasional curveball.
Oh, shut up.
Ah, that means it is.
Yes. No. Maybe. On a more serious subject, could you please call your father back?
No.
Luke?
No.
I talked to him.
Why?
Because he asked me to. He wanted to know how you were doing since you don't return his calls or emails.
He wanted to know if I was acting like a stark raving lunatic and if we were living under a bridge.
If we lived under a bridge, there would be more opportunities for you to have good light for painting.
Did he ask directly if I was taking my meds?
I told him we were fine. You were fine.
Well, that means he did ask.
He was surprised to hear we had moved to Kansas City.
Jack keeps secrets better than I thought. I'm sure your dad didn't lose any sleep wondering where his slacker youngest child was. Did he mention...
She's fine. She wanted to talk to you, too.
Did she ask to speak to you?
No, but that's okay. It was you they were calling about. I told your father about your great job, your latest art show. He even asked about my art.
Ain't that special.
It was thoughtful. I'll take thoughtful. So, will you call him?
Mom fixes him a plate every night.
I guess that mystery is solved.
Which one?
It's not a cultural thing.
Oh, it's cultural, all right. The culture of doing all the right things inside the pretty little bubble.
Will you call him?
The only time he fixes her one is when she's sick. Like, can't get out of bed and no one else is around sick.
I know you get sick of hearing me say this, but they didn't know how to deal with your diagnosis. That doesn't make them bad people.
I'll call. Promise. Next weekend, only for you.
Okay. You get back to that light. You still have a few minutes left.
Maybe I want to spend the best light of the day looking at you.
Ooh, smooth talker.
That reminds me, I'm actually hungry again.
Woman, you better bring me a plate of pizza from the fridge.
Hop to it.
Maya throws a paintbrush at Luke in the play.
Take the unconventional panties challenge.
I like myself.
Well,
Well, this was a real treat, I hope, for you as well as everyone who tuned in online. This was just a wonderful opportunity for four playwrights on air to preview the work that they've written for the Fringe Festival and other projects. So I do want to thank Jose Faust, Michelle T. Johnson, Meredith Wolf, Davis D. Rock, Kevin King, Bonnie Hansen, again, Laura Jacobs, Jenny Diamond, and Scott Cox and Vicki Vaudry. Thank you so much, everybody, for this. Yay, a hand clap. For sharing your work with us, your talent, and your time. Again, the Fringe Festival opens next week, and that's the 16th through the 25th, I believe. So for more information about show times, locations, what maybe a little synopsis of what the shows are about. There's also music, performance, I believe, poetry and all that. So it's just a really good festival about the creative arts here in Kansas City and actually really around the world. Please note that next week, July 15th, I'll have guests in the studio, our own beloved Bill Claus. He will come in and talk about the sketch comedy production of The Baby Boom Generation, The Greatest Story Ever Told. I love that title. We'll also have from The Writer's Place, who will be performing at The Fringe as well as here on the radio, we'll have Sylvia Koffler, Lindsay Martin Bowen, Greg Field, Mary Frances Wagner, and I think a few others that will come and talk about the work at the Fringe Festival this coming week. And, for you listeners, I do want to remind you to stay tuned for Afternoon Jazz at 1 o'clock with Jeff Harshbarger. At 3 o'clock, we have Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. At 6 o'clock, tune in for All Souls Forum. 7 o'clock, we have American Roots. At 9 o'clock, the Classical Challenge. You can find us on Facebook. Please like us because I really like you. We're on Facebook. ArtSpeak Radio is on Facebook as well as KKFI. Be sure that, if you can't listen in your car or your home radio, tune us in on your radio app on your smartphone, or you can listen to us online. I do want to thank everyone for tuning in today and making KKFI a priority. So with that, one more announcement I'll say, go to www.fringefestival.org for more information. And thank you all for coming in, and have a terrific afternoon. And honey, I'm coming home.